you have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn to the Galatian letter and the 6th chapter. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches throughout Galatia, and he is concerned about an individual who may have gone astray. And when you come to the Galatian letter and the 6th chapter, if you would, though, look at what he says in verse 2. After in verse 1 instructing that we help an individual who needs to be restored, to do so in a spirit of gentleness, considering ourselves, lest we be tempted, he makes the statement to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe that in every generation, in every age, there comes a time that we must learn to be dependent upon others. I recognize that it is difficult in our day and age to recognize a truth, that there's going to come a time that we might lose our independence. That is a fact that's hard to face. Many times as we grow older and the body becomes more frail, it's difficult to do the things we once were able to do. And many times we become dependent upon others, and I hear individuals make statements that they don't want to be a burden and they don't want to be a bother. And many times we misunderstand that we really have an opportunity to be a blessing to other people. And so tonight, for just a few moments, I want to talk about a fact we don't like to face, but it's a fact we must face. I want to talk about losing one's independence. The first thing I'd like for you to do is turn with me to the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 9. When you come to 2 Samuel chapter 9, you'll find an individual identified as Mephibosheth. That man was the son of Saul, who was king over Israel. But you remember that this man was an individual that was lame in his feet. If you take your Bible, you'll see in verse 3, when David was asking, "Is there not still someone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And he said, Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." Here is Mephibosheth, the son of, Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. And here was a man who was lame. And the reason he was lame is when they were running for their lives, the nurse that cared for him had dropped him. Now here is an individual who had become dependent. He had to deal with others serving him and waiting on him. He was not able to get up and walk about. He wasn't able to use his legs like we are tonight. He was an individual that had to have somebody care for him. I've often thought about a young man who was in an accident, that when the nurse was picking him up to flee from the city, when the city was besieged, drops him and he becomes lame. How for the remainder of his days he could have become bitter and angry. He could have said, "I would have rather died than to have this affliction." But this man eventually sat at the table of the king. This man still had purpose in his life. This man still had dignity. Just because that man no longer was able to use his legs did not mean he was not useful in the kingdom of God. But then if you take your Bible this evening, look, if you will, in the book of Mark and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of Mark and the 10th chapter, I want you to take note of another individual. And this time, it's a man identified as Bartimaeus. When you look in the book of Mark and the 10th chapter, notice this man sat by the roadside begging. This man did not have any way to make any money in verse 46, except that somebody help him and give him alms. They did not have what we have today as far as social services. He wasn't able to depend upon the government for a check. So this man sat by the road. And notice it says he was begging in verse 46. Then notice in verse 47, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by. And notice he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Here was a man who was not able to see. Here was a man who had the affliction of blindness. And here was a man who depended upon the kindness and generosity of others for his livelihood. And then in the book of Mark in the 10th chapter, notice that he hears Jesus passing by. And notice that man would not allow anyone to hinder him from going to Jesus. There are two people we recognize tonight. people who had hindrances in life, people who had handicaps, people who had lost their independence and were dependent upon others. But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. When you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, have you ever thought of that young man identified as Timothy? How that young man was dependent upon the Apostle Paul. And that young man had looked up to Paul, and there was a close bond between them, like father and son. In fact, Paul calls him son several times through the epistles. I know that must have made Timothy feel good to recognize that close bond. But when you read 2 Timothy 4, you'll find that Paul also was dependent upon Timothy. Here, Timothy had depended upon Paul on knowing what to preach and teach. He was dependent upon Paul in growing his faith. But when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice there's a time when Paul's in prison. Paul is not independent. Paul is confined. Paul is not able to go where he wants to go. He's not able to leave that Roman dungeon. And what does he ask for? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice he tells Timothy in verse 13, bring some things to me. Bring the cloak I left at Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. But I'll tell you what he most wanted. Look at verse 21. Do your utmost to come before winter. When winter set in, Timothy wouldn't be able to travel. The ships would quit sailing. When winter set in, they wouldn't make sail. And Paul had a fear if Timothy didn't leave before winter, he would never see him again. He says, leave Ephesus. Go by and get those things that I've left at Troas. But most of all, get here. Why? I need you. You ever thought that here was an older preacher who for so long Timothy had depended upon? Now Paul is dependent upon Timothy. Now then, when you think about that, I'd like for you to look again in your Bible in the book of Luke and the 10th chapter. When you come to the book of Luke and the 10th chapter, I want you to think about that man who was identified by the Lord as one who was robbed. And you remember in Luke 10, he was robbed and left for dead. He was a man who wasn't able to help himself. He'd been beaten. He had been mistreated. He'd been violated and left by the side of the road. Left for dead. And notice that a priest went by, should have helped, didn't. A Levi went by, should have helped, but didn't. But notice a Samaritan stopped. That man saw that here was an individual that was not able to help himself. And that man fulfilled the law of Christ. What did he do? He bore his burdens. He helped him where he couldn't help himself. Now then, if you take your Bible, look again in the book of John in the 19th chapter. And the book of John in the 19th chapter. You remember Jesus is hanging upon the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus looked down from the cross of Calvary, who did he see? He saw his mother there. One of the most touching scenes in the Bible, the Word of God, is when Jesus looks down from Calvary's hill. He looks down from the cross. There stands his mother, watching him be put to an open shame, watching him suffer. And notice what he says in verse 25 and 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. You know what Jesus recognized? He wasn't going to be there in the flesh anymore. He was going to send back to the Father. And he saw that his mother would have a need. And he saw John and he said, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And watch it. From that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. You ever thought Mary needed someone at that time? Joseph, as most have said, scholars would say, was probably dead by this time. Mary's there. She's looking up at her oldest son, whose responsibility it would be to care for the mother. And notice we don't read where the other children were there. And Jesus, looking from the cross, saw she needed someone at that time. And he said, you behold your son, you behold your mother. But then I want you to think of something else. If you take your Bible, have you ever stopped to think, we're dependent on Jesus? Open your Bible, if you will, to the Philippian letter in the 2nd chapter. When you come to the Philippian letter and the 2nd chapter, notice the statement that is brought out by the Word of God, beginning at verse 5. In Philippians 2 and verse 5. Verse 4, let me get the thought. He said, well, verse 3. We'll do verse 3, 4, and 5. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. If you stop right there, that would solve a lot of problems. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind? What is he talking about? He tells us in verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was both God and man. But what did he do? It said he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearances of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Notice, he was equal with God, but he came in the form of a serpent, born of a woman, dependent. When Jesus was just a baby, though he was God, he was in the flesh, you know he still was dependent upon his mother. You know a baby is very dependent. A baby comes into this life and it takes time. They need someone. You ever notice the difference between an animal life and a baby? You look out at a chicken, a hen will lay her eggs, and after, 28, 30 days of incubation, those eggs pop open, out comes the little chicks. Mama don't deal with them much anymore. A turtle, you go down to the Harpeth River down there where I grew up, where my family's from. Where my family's from. And you'll see that there was some, you'd see turtles, they'd lay their eggs in the side there of the bank, and those little turtles would come out, never met their mother. But God didn't make children that way. God made children to be dependent upon. You look at a cow, have a calf. Within a few hours of birth, that calf will be able to get to its legs. The mother gives it a tongue bath from the tip of the nose to the tip of the tail. And it won't be very long, that baby's wanting milk. And for a week or so, it's running across the field. God didn't make children that way. Good grief, we wait a year and they take a step and we jump up and down. They say a word or say, do dad, 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 mom, mom. We're like, they're saying mom, mom. That's what they're saying first. They're very dependent. And then we grow and we think we're independent, but my friend, all through life we're going to need something. And you know, my friend, we do not need to be ashamed that we need help from others. And I think that we have too much pride, and what we need to do is see some of the advantages of losing our independence. The first thing I want to tell you is, learn it's okay to cry. That the body isn't always going to be strong. And what I need to learn is what the psalmist said in the 103rd Psalm, verse 14, we're made out of dust. God isn't surprised at that. He says, remember our frame that we're dust. That God remembers that we're vulnerable and weak. Sometimes we get frustrated when we're tried and we're having problems and we try to hide it. But some wounds can't be hidden. Some handicaps come about. But sometimes it's when we hurt and the body aches and we have to be more dependent on others. It's a time of spiritual growth. It's through our human frailties and the pain that life that we can be liberated, because we recognize we don't have it all together. We don't have all the answers. We aren't always able to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And God has told us such in His Word. Sometimes I need to learn in my life, there comes a time I need help. That is a biblical principle. You know how I know it? Why did He put us together as the church? Secondly, not only do I need to learn it's okay to cry, I need, there comes a time in life I just admit I need help. And you know what that takes? That takes humility. And you know something I believe every one of us needs in life is a good dose of humility. Some parade around. I remember one fellow one time, he could strut sitting down. You ever met someone like that? Just like a peacock, strut everywhere they go. And I'll tell you, my friend, watch out. We need to humble ourselves. And I'll tell you what happens. Humiliations come. You know how I know? I experience them all the time. We ask the Lord to humble us, and then we humiliate ourselves, and we say, why did I do that? Sometimes it's the very thing we need. I believe that what happens in life is if we keep a humble heart, then when we need someone to help us, we won't have that attitude so many have that I don't want to be a bother. I want you to understand, you're not a burden, you're a blessing. We are designed to help each other. And many times what happens is we focus on the burden and miss the blessing. If somebody cares enough to say, if you need something, let me know, and we say, oh, I'll never let them know, that's really pride. Because what we're saying is, I don't want them to know I'm weak. We hide it under the guise we don't want to bother them. But is it a blessing? Remember what the words of Paul, it's when he's quoting the Christ, it's more blessed to us. Give than receive. And I'll tell you what happens sometimes. We ought to feel good when someone cares enough to help us. One day, I didn't have much money. I love this shirt. I was with Robert Jackson. He's up in Nashville. And we came down. I said, I'm going to get that. You know, he said, let's go back upstairs. I said, what for? He said, I'm going to get you that shirt. And I said, no, Brother Robert, that's a lot of money. He said, no, we're going. I said, now, Brother Jackson, I'll get it. He said, no, I'm going to get it for you. I said, it makes me feel bad. He said, well, it ought to make you feel good. I want to get you something. Somebody want to do something good for you, ought to make you feel good. And you know that's right. Somebody want to do something good, ought to make you feel good. They didn't care for you, they wouldn't offer it. And you think about spiritually. What do we need? Oh, I believe this. I believe in this life we need one another. I know that's not the proud thing to say, but I want to tell you that's the right thing to say. And it could be as we get older, our bodies get frail, the mind doesn't work as well, the eyes don't see as well, and we feel like we're falling apart. But I'll tell you one thing. Isn't it a blessing to look around and see members of the body of Christ who care for us? I'll never forget when my son was diagnosed with sickness, fibrosis, at the very beginning. We had a bill. The water had been turned off and we was having financial problems. The people who came and the people who helped and the people who prayed. It's not because of what, it's because they showed they cared. And sometimes that's humbling, but you know what? We need to be humble. A proud person will never go to heaven. A humble person sees his need to make his life right with God. He's going to depend on God and will help each other. Oh, I would that we help each other here, but most importantly, help each other get to heaven. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you're dependent upon Christ and His sacrifice. If you're not baptized into Christ, you must be to have your sins blotted out. We pray you come as together we stand and sing.